Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. You might notice that we are missing Steve today, but that's okay, you guys. I have a very special guest that's helping me out today on the podcast. Her name is Andrea Deckard. She has been a friend and business partner of mine since 2008 or 9. I can't even remember. It's been so long. And the reason why I have her with me today is we are going to talk about Facebook ads. It is something that I know absolutely nothing about. And I know for people who are running ads, either to build traffic to their website, grow their email list, sell products, it is definitely something that people have been very frustrated with over the past year. And Andrea is going to talk a little bit about what is working and what isn't working in 2022. So thank you, Andrea, for being on the podcast today.
Hey, I'm so excited.
So give us a little background. I mean, obviously, if you guys have been to Seller Summit or have you watched, or if you're in our classes, you've seen her as a guest on Office Hours. But what are you working on specifically that would allow me to have you on as our Facebook expert today?
Yeah, so for the past, I would say, 4 or 5 years, I have been focusing strictly on e-commerce growth using paid traffic. And so in that time frame, I've learned lots of different strategies and also just riding the wave of what's changing with Facebook, not so much Google yet, although Performance Max is coming out, and I know we're not going to talk about that today, but and even Pinterest, and then diving into TikTok. So I've really been focusing a lot on the paid traffic side and strategy and just helping these businesses grow.
So one of the things that we talk about a lot on this podcast is how to grow your audience in general. And I know one of your strategies with Facebook ads has been to get people in through a lead magnet or through something where you're not actually trying to get a sale right away. You're getting them on a list and then eventually selling them something in the future, whether it be a physical product, a course, affiliates. So can you talk a little bit about what you've seen change in the past couple of years? Because I know when you first got into paid traffic, you had just ridiculous success getting people on lists through ads. And I know that that's, I don't know if that's died off yet or if it's coming, or what have you seen specifically with not necessarily trying to make that cold sale?
Sure. So we still do quite a bit of the lead traffic opt-in. So I guess that's what top of the funnel. And we still have success with that, but with iOS, it changed. So we couldn't use any more straight conversion custom conversions and that are native to Facebook. So what we'll do now is I'll set up UTM parameters in all of my ads, and then I track a lot of the conversions for the opt-ins from new subscribers in Google Analytics. So we do a lot of cold top of funnel ads still. And then we do have a lot of success as well with just direct purchase. But that cold traffic is still very important to try to acquire.
So can you walk us through, because you used a lot of terms in your last paragraph that some people might not be familiar with. If someone is just getting started and they want to create an ad to get people on an email list, so basically cold traffic. Mm-hmm. Can you walk people through like what you think about before, like creative wise, copy wise, things that you've seen work, things that maybe aren't working? I know one of the conversations that you and I had last week was that it used to be that if you did a Facebook Live and then you use that live in an ad to drive people, it used to convert like crazy. Mm-hmm. Now you're not seeing the same type of success. So if you want to just create an ad where you're getting people on a list or getting people to a sign-up page, what is your thought process in setting that whole thing up?
Yeah, so obviously I would think if you listen to any other podcasts that are specific to paid traffic or marketing, they're going to tell you the change in the landscape is taking everything back to basics, and that is going to be your offer and your message. So we try to be very clear with any creative that would entice someone to want to click on the ad and sign up. So what they're going to do when you're looking through your Facebook feed, you're going to immediately look at the image, then you're going to look at the headline on Facebook, and it might have something underneath that image. And then you're probably going to go to the top and read like what that copy or the post actually says in that Facebook post. So with all of those elements that we have to use, I have been finding a lot of success doing an actual ad that you create in the dashboard rather than using a Facebook post. And I do use both things, and we can talk about what the strategy is for using an actual Facebook post versus creating a dark ad, if you will. But I try to just show people very clearly, like, what are they getting and why do they need it? And so if you're going to offer someone, you know, a checklist of some sort, or maybe a list of, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, you want to make sure they understand, like, this is what you're getting, but here are some things that you need to think about for why you might want it, and get in the head of the potential subscriber or the customer. So you start speaking the language and using the words that they would be using. So I think even starting out with just getting engagement on any type of ad or post is really good, because you can start asking questions of the traffic that's coming in to understand, what are they saying about whatever this thing is that we're giving away, or the product might be that you're trying to, like, get them in a funnel for? And then you start just turning that back around and using that in some of your ad copy. And then that's going to really resonate with a lot of people, I personally think, because you're using the same words that they're using when they're describing the issues that they're having.
So when you say get questions from people, are you talking about, are they leaving comments on the ad itself, or are you using things that they email you, or where are you getting that copy from the actual consumer?
Yeah. So we will go out with, depending on what the product or, you know, the customer is, we will go out and just ask basic questions. Like, we have an ad running right now for someone that they're in the Bible space. And so, like, what's your favorite hymn? You can get so many people talking about that, because all they want to do is share. And then you talk to them about, like, well, these hymns that you're talking about are an important part of this product that we offer. And here's, like, a free opt-in that you can get to see, like, if this would be something that would make sense for you. So we ask those questions, or you can turn around and say, if it is, let's say, for example, if it's already a customer that you have and you know that they all are in love with your product, then you go out and you say, you know, how is this helping you in your life with whatever the problem is that you're solving for them for that product? And then they give you all of this stuff to say, I love it because it helps me, you know, be able to make sure I don't miss scheduling, you know, doctor's appointments, or I'm feeding my dog on time, or I'm getting to the gym every day, whatever that problem that you are solving is for that customer. You have all of these people commenting and telling you something very different, and then you can use that in your ad copy to test, like, what's going to resonate. And it might resonate with multiple people. You might have multiple different angles that you're going after. It might be a stay-at-home mom. It might be a, you know, what are they called, dinks, you know, double income, no kids, and you have an entirely different, like, angle to go after for your marketing efforts. So when you understand who your customer is, all these people that are buying from you, they may not leave you a review, and you're just going there out there and asking them a blank question, and you're running an ad, and you're actually going to target your current customer. So having a list in Facebook, and this is kind of getting into the technical stuff, but targeting just your customers and only having them see that for a certain period of time to be able to acquire all of that feedback on the post is going to give you tons of great copy. And then we can flip that and turn that to a direct sale type of post too.
Okay, so this is really interesting. I didn't know you were doing this. So let me make sure I understand it correctly. You're running an ad to people that have already purchased from you or already on your list, or like your current customer or audience. In that ad, you're asking them a question about something, a product or service that you guys sell. You don't necessarily want to make a sale off that ad. I mean, you probably will make sales off the ad just because that's how these things work. But what your main goal for all of this is to get copy and feedback that then you turn around and use in additional ads.
Yes, and also the social proof. So when we're asking them these questions, these are our diehard fans. These are our customers. They've already opened their wallet once. And you can even create multiple segments in a custom audience in Facebook. So maybe you wanted to say, only give me my diehard, like people who have spent $500 with my store. You can do whatever you want and target them with the email list upload into your Facebook in a custom audience. And so you're not guaranteed, but you're going to get some good feedback from people, and they'll say, well, I enjoy these products because of this, or I used that free opt-in that you gave me, and then I knew immediately I had to go buy that product because it solved all the problems that I had. And then what I do, and this is the sweet spot that I've shared with a couple people, and you guys are getting the first exclusive public drop of this. I will take that ad, and a lot of people don't know that you can do this with Facebook ads, so this is where it gets kind of technical. You run that ad, you get all the comments on it that you want, right? And then we're going to flip that and we're going to turn that into, we're going to change the copy on that ad. And a lot of people will say, but you can't do that when it's been in an ad. Yeah, I know. But what you do is you swap out the ad that's currently running temporarily with, let's say, just another generic Facebook post on your page, and you publish that ad. When that published ad that you've just like reset basically is approved, then the post that you're using, and this is going to work with a Facebook post, not like a dark page post, the post that you're using, you should be able to edit this. Now, there are some limitations when it won't work, and it's usually if you've edited the post multiple times because of a typo or whatever. So you want to be very strategic about doing this type of strategy with your audience and with potential customers. Because once you can edit that post where before you were saying, tell me all the reasons why this is helping you in your life, now you're going to say, do you have XYZ problem in your life? A lot of other people do too, and this problem is going to solve it. And then they go and read all of the comments from all these people, and they're like, okay, I've never heard of this company before, but they seem legit. I immediately might trust them. I don't know them, but I'm going to buy their product and I'm going to get to know them. And let me see what else they're doing. I'm going to follow their page, and eventually they'll come to like your brand, hopefully. So it's that whole like know, like, and trust factor that every marketer talks about. But we're doing it in a way where we're getting all of our current customers that already know, like, and trust us to tell us why they like the product or like us, modifying that content, publishing it, and then using that new, using that post that was the same post ID in an ad as a direct purchase in any part of your funnel. And it's going to immediately just give you legitimacy as a brand.
So we can end the podcast right there. Everyone go do that right now. So I have a question going back to, you were talking about, you know, sort of at the core of this is uploading a specific list from your email to Facebook. And I'm assuming you mentioned customers. A lot of our audience doesn't necessarily have a customer yet. They don't have a product. They're trying to grow the audience to then get to the product side. So I'm assuming, just from what I know about email, you can do an email list of your most rabid email fans, right? The people that open the emails more frequently, people are clicking. So it doesn't necessarily have to be based on a purchase. It can also just be segmented by, this person has opened 10 emails in the last 60 days, or, you know, something like that. You can segment them any way in your email and then upload that to Facebook.
Yeah, that's correct. And if you're using Klaviyo, they obviously have this nailed in the way that they can do it. You can set up as many segments that you want as you want, and then integrate them directly with your Facebook ad account to create custom audiences. So, and I would say your message is going to be a little different. So you may not use the exact strategy that I said, like tell us why you loved our product. They've not bought anything yet. You're going to ask them questions about the content you're producing. And the content that you're producing is going to relate to the products that you're going to sell. So if you can get commentary on some of the content that you're producing, and it can line up with some of the products that you're selling, and it might be that it's a free page out of a book that you're going to offer or whatever. And then eventually you can use that same image that you gave away for free. And then you can flip that too and say, hey, here's this product that we're offering now. A lot of people know and like us, and they trust us. And if you're interested, you know, here's the offer that we have.
So let's switch gears a little bit. We maybe should have started here now that I'm thinking about it. But one of the questions that Steve and I get asked all the time in the course is, and, you know, Andrea started out as a blogger, so she's very familiar with the content side, content marketing. One of the questions we get from people is they get started, they get their WordPress site up, they start producing content, they've got their social media channels. They want to know if they should run ads just to grow their email list or just to get traffic to their website. As someone who's sort of been in this space for a really long time, and I know you've been in the ad space for a while as well, I never really recommend people paying for traffic if they don't have something to sell them. And we always say, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that people can touch. It could be a digital product. It could be an info product. It could even be like a very high converting affiliate offer. That one you have to work the numbers, obviously. But you know, if you're in certain spaces, your affiliate offers are ridiculous, right? If, I mean, I know they're like credit cards and stuff have rules about what you can advertise. But if you have an affiliate offer that's paying you $100 a lead, you can probably afford to pay for advertising. But how do you feel about people paying for traffic when they are just really trying to build the list and they don't quite know what they're going to do with it yet?
Yeah, I am 100% in agreement with your approach and your advice on that. The only time I would probably say, no, go ahead and run an ad, even if you don't have a product, is if you have a specific date where your product's going to launch. So you can essentially start building like a cold list of people that are interested in whatever your product's going to be. And we will do that with our existing email lists. You know, hey, we have this product launching. Are you interested? Click this button. And then that's going to get you like your super hyper interested fans. So I know you're doing this too. So that would probably be the only time I would say go ahead and start ads, because in my opinion, and I think we've talked about this before, like your subscriber list, I don't care if it's 1,000 or if it's 100,000, those are vanity numbers unless it's producing something that you want, whatever the result is that you want. Maybe you just want a whole bunch of people that really like you and think you're funny and they reply to your emails or whatever. Then that's producing what you want. So grow your list and get more of that. But I think most of us are like, I want my efforts to actually, you know, pay the bills. And so I would for sure do exactly what Toni said, if she's been saying that. And I think she has, because we've talked about all this stuff a lot. Unless you know that you have a specific product launch date in mind and you want to go ahead and acquire those potential customers so you can start marketing to them.
So I have two questions that I keep thinking about as you're talking. The first one is, if you are brand new to Facebook, and if you guys are in Steve's Profitable Online Store course, he just did a series of lessons on how to create a Facebook ad, like creative-wise. He did a whole, I think it was like six different lessons on basically breaking down the ads and as far as like the ad creation. So, but not, I know not everybody's in Steve's course that listens to this. So if you're me, because I don't do Facebook ads, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready, I want to run a Facebook ad, what are the top three things that I need to think about before I get started? Because what I also hear, and I know you hear this too, and you're in some paid traffic groups, is like, I just wasted all this money. It's like when Pinterest ads started, right? And people got all excited, and then they're spending like $500 a day, and they're getting one sale of a $50 product. Right. And so what are the top three things that you would tell somebody? Because I don't remember when you got into Facebook ads. I feel like you've always known them, but that's not true.
Yeah, no. So I think the first thing is going back to basics, which is, who is your potential customer subscriber? You have to know who that person is, because you need to start understanding what they like. Where do they shop? Where do they go to the grocery store? Where do they go, you know, do they go to the public library? You need to start building like an interest list. And I know a lot of marketers today are like, oh, Facebook wants you to go super broad, just do gender and like age-based targeting on your ads. And I'm going to tell you, like, we still find success with lookalike ads, but they're very specific. They're like lookalike of somebody that bought this specific product, because we have a ton of integration set up on the Klaviyo side going to the Facebook custom audiences. So that's the most important thing. Who is your customer? And never losing sight of that, because as you continue to scale and test and grow, you always have to go back to, what are my customers liking now? What kind of interests are they possibly like discovering that I could also include in some of my interest-based targeting on Facebook specifically? And I say Facebook specifically, but you know, the other platforms have very similar targeting set up. I don't think they're as sophisticated as Facebook quite yet, but TikTok is one that I can see it has probably the most potential. Pinterest is, like Toni said, Pinterest is just, it has a lot of issues in my opinion. So going back, who is your customer avatar basically? And then what is your offer? So I think the offer is probably more important than the message, because if you have a fantastic message and you're like, but it's going to cost you $5 million and be like, yeah, good luck with that. Nobody's going to click on it. Nobody's going to buy. So you have to make sure your offer is there. And a lot of times if you're brand new starting out, it's going to be like, I have this amazing, you know, 12 ways that you can save money at the grocery store. And I'm using that because like I was started as a frugal blogger. And a lot of people, that's really relevant right now too, right? With a lot of people and everything that's happening in the economy, and they are going to probably see that, and you're not going to have to convince them much in your message, because they're going to say, oh, this looks like it's a list of some sort and it's a free download and it's going to help me save money and I need that. So you don't even have to focus a ton on your copy or your message around that, because it's not going to be hard to convince them that, yeah, you might want this specific download to help you. And then the last thing is the message. And it's really, it can go lots of different ways. You know, I love the story brand model that Donald Miller has come out with and kind of coined. But I really think it's just telling a story to the potential customer or subscriber. And you don't have to go like, you know, 1,000 words on a Facebook post. You can just say, hey, do you need to cut your budget this summer? Just check out our download. And we have seen both ways work. We've seen super long copy work with that's really going through the story and really trying to get in the mind of them. So when they're reading, it will like pull at a heartstring or really connect with them. And then the other also converts extremely well as well. And the creative, I think, is really what pulls them in the headline. So it's really like, hey, want to save money or you want this free download? And then they go look and say, oh, yeah, like that short copy got me in because I knew exactly what it was. It's very clear.
So you talked about offer, and that actually reminds me of a project that you – so Andrea and I have the same client for one of our one of our clients is the same. I do the email. Andrea does the ads. And it's interesting because we just finished this challenge for this client that she ran. And if you guys don't know what a challenge is, basically you get people to sign up on your email list to participate in something. Typically the challenge is live, meaning there's some component where people are getting information on a daily or every other day basis for a predetermined amount of time. So this was a week challenge, 5 days. People got an email every single day with information about this specific topic. And we had a couple goals on this. One was to get people on the email list, so grow the email list through the challenge, which challenges, I think we've talked about this on other podcasts, that challenges are a great way to grow your email list for free. But then there was a product attached to the challenge, and obviously the goal of this challenge was not only to grow the list, but also to get people to buy her product. So we had to stop for a photo. Mm-hmm. Photo op. So anyway, when Andrea and I were talking about setting up this challenge, you know, we worked together on this, and she said, I think that the challenge itself is not worth paying to get traffic to. So she did not feel like we should run ads to get people on the list, which I didn't disagree with. It's definitely not my area of expertise, but I could see how the challenge itself wasn't like this amazing, you know, like challenges like, hey, I'm going to help you lose your winter weight or something like that is probably going to get more people interested than what we were talking about. But what she did feel like was going to work was the offer with the discount. And so she ran ads, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, she ran ads to just the sale product, right? Is that what we did? Mm-hmm. Just to clarify?
Yeah, so like Tony said, as we were talking about that specific challenge, like I was not really excited about it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to run it. And I'll back up and say the reason I wasn't going to run it is because we do have a lot of top of funnel campaigns that we're running right now to get new email subscribers. So I felt like we have a lot that's working right now. And this isn't that much different than some other things that are working right now for that specific category in that product line. So that was really one of the major things that I was thinking about. But I knew the sale component would be a compelling offer because a lot of people respond to this person's offers when they have a sale or a discount or a flash sale or whatever the language is you're going to use. So I'm playing right now around with modifying the headline and the offer because it's not really resonating even with that offer and the message in it. So I'm wondering too if just like it, not that the product's not sexy enough, if you will, but it just not maybe as interesting enough, and the timing may not be right either. We're recording this in the summer month. It may not be something that is hitting with people right now for the summer. But I don't know if that's it either. So we're constantly testing things, and I'm testing a couple other things with that too. But we have had sales on it, but it's not doing as well as some of the other like straight up sale offers that we have.
And because you have, because you've worked with this client for a long time and you've run a ton of ads, one of the things that you and I were talking about was that a coupon code works better than something being marked down. Or like, talk about that a little bit, because I think a lot of that, I mean, it could be the exact same price, right? You could offer something for $22 or you could offer something at $30 with a discount to make it $22, but you think the discount one works better. Do you know the psychology behind that, or do you have any idea why you've seen that? And do you think that's across the board, or is it just specific to this audience that we're dealing with?
I really don't know, because I think I see both things working with other accounts too, whether it's a discount code, you know, to drop your price, or it's like a, hey, straight like price drop. You know, we use all the urgent messages, whether it's flash sale or limited time, whatever, or no code needed. I will say sometimes when people see that no code is needed and they go over and they're like, well, this still seems pretty high to me. So when you can tell them like, oh, it's 25% off of everything, I always try to like give people something very clear that if they wanted to try to do the math in their head, because like with all of these offers too and messages, we want to try to be very clear because we don't want them to have to think too much. We want them to be very clear when they land on the page, have everything be very clear when they go to add this to their cart to go like check out. So with this account, I have seen that the codes have done decent, but then also, you know, it just depends on what the product is. I think it really just varies on whatever the product might be.
So that's something, if you're just starting out and you did want to offer some kind of a discount, you're going to want to test that and see what works better. Another question that I know Steve gets all the time is about the images. And I feel like the first time I ever saw a Facebook ad or that to like run one, you could only do like a picture or like three pictures. It was a carousel.
Yeah.
And I know now you can run all sorts of things. Are you seeing one work better than the other? Is it all dependent on the client? Like, what are you seeing as far as images go? And I know Steve did a whole series on how to create really cool images, and I think he even talked about video. But what are you seeing on your side?
So the images and even some of the videos that do well, it's something that will literally make you stop your scroll and be like, do I know that person? Is that, whose kid is that? You know, if there's going to be like a child in it or something like that. So thinking about like the highly produced photos, like, yeah, we all need them on our stores or on our Amazon listings or whatever, but they don't always convert, because if you think like, if you're offering a product and you're just like saying like, I'm a harried mom and I have so much going on in my life, and you're showing this perfectly like organized room with every bin in place color coded, they're probably not going to relate to you. So you can't include those beautiful photos like that for a product that you might be like trying to organize someone's life or whatever, because they may immediately think like, either maybe they think like, yeah, I do want that, or they might think this is going to be impossible because my life is way too chaotic for that. So I think that if you can do any type of like photos that are really things that you could take yourself around your house, maybe it's just like if you have a product and it's like your kids playing with it or whatever it might be, obviously not a chainsaw. You know, having something that could be like my friend, that's my friend in my picture, because we want them to be able to relate to us. And it may not necessarily be you in the picture, but it could be something like, oh, I could relate to that. I have kids that age. Like, that's my avatar.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although I think if I saw like a perfectly organized room, I would probably stop scrolling just because I want that. That might be appealing to me. So another question that we get a lot, and I know you've heard this too, is, should you hire someone to do your ads? And obviously you get paid to do people's ads, so you're biased in that that's what you do. But if, I mean, you still have your website, you still have an e-commerce store. If you didn't know what you knew about Facebook ads, would you hire it out? Like, what would be the steps that you would take? Would you try to learn it yourself first? You obviously got into it and loved it and, you know, turned it into a really nice business for yourself. But you know, not everybody's going to love Facebook ads like you do. Not everybody's going to be. I mean, one of the things that I think you do really well is the targeting, finding the right audiences, which in itself is a science. So there's so many components to ads that you have to know a lot about. You have to understand the targeting, which it's not easy. You have to understand the creative. We talked about this other day. You have to be able to write copy, right? And so, and I know of those things, like you're better at some than you are others, but for someone who's just getting started or maybe has tried ads for a little bit and has just sunk all this money and has seen no success, do you hire somebody? Do you hire an agency? Do you hire a one person? Andrea is not for hire, just so you guys know. So put that out there. Don't be emailing her. But what would you tell people to do if it was your friend that you were talking to?
So that's a really tough one, because I would say, you know, if you're starting out and you're bootstrapping, you're not probably going to be able to afford an agency anyway. And you also need to have the money to play around and test the ads to see what's going to resonate, like what audience is going to work the best. So there's a lot of money that you have to spend without even making a dime.
So let's talk about that. How much money? Because you say a lot of money and I'm like, millions of dollars. Like, are we talking you need to have $100 a day, $500 a day, $1,000 a day? Like, what's realistic? Because I see these people like, get started on Facebook ads for $5 a day. That doesn't seem realistic.
No, and that might have worked a couple years ago, I think, when we saw the same person like talking about that. And that doesn't work today. And the reason it doesn't work today is because of iOS, in my opinion. We used to be able to run out of the gate and test with like $10 a day. And there are sometimes I will run a campaign that's 10 or 20 bucks a day, because it's like low hanging fruit. I'm going to the top of the funnel. If I can catch them there, I'm not spending a lot of money on that. But if I want to test a new audience or test a strategy, I'm going out and spending 100 bucks a day. Now, I know that that is a lot of money, but I also think that if you are extremely diligent about like learning what you're doing and you're following all the right people, and I will say, like, Steve has great material about Facebook ads. Like, I know I learned quite a bit from him when I was starting out. So if you're in his course, like, take his information and actually apply it, and you're going to get somewhere. Now, maybe if you can't start with $100 a day, maybe you could back it up to 50 or 75. But just know that you're fighting all of these other marketers for those impressions. And if you're not spending that much a day and your daily budget is capped, you're not catching some of those people that you could be catching. So I wouldn't start for any less than 100 bucks a day.
Is there seasonality in that? Whereas, and I know I heard this a couple years ago, like during the election, right? Ads were just, even if you're running ads on, you know, jewelry, it doesn't matter. Every ad is through the roof because of the election ads. So, and so that would take out like one time sort of events, but like Christmas or Mother's Day or things like that. Are there times when ads are just more expensive? So if someone's getting started, maybe that's not the time, or is it that is the time because people are also always looking to buy?
No, I think that the traditional holidays like Black Friday, even, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, really the Black Friday and Christmas, like your budget is going to go super high. What I would encourage you to do is if you know that you have an offer that you want to promote and you're really going to do something on Black Friday, start now, start in June, July, to work on the figuring out like what audience is going to resonate with your offer, because you don't want to have to spend as much during that time, and maybe you could scale back on some of your ads. I would still definitely do your ads, run ads on the special holidays and things. But if you have a solid email list that you know you've acquired and they're buyers and they're going to rebuy from you, then you're going to be able to save a little bit on the paid traffic side.
Okay, one last thing that I want to hit on before I let you get back to vacation. So one of the things that we've talked about in the past is having an organic presence on Facebook. So people who have a page with, you know, zero followers or 35 followers, whatever, very new, who aren't putting out much content, is there really a difference than people who have a page of, let's just say, 10,000 followers? They are putting out content on a regular basis, and it might not be just a pop-in page, but at least there is interaction and it's not completely dead. Does that matter?
I think that definitely is a data point that helps. So, you know, some pages that are like massive large, if they have a ton of engagement on their page, it's going to help your ad spend, because Facebook's going to say, hey, like, we already know that there's a lot of people that like this page. They may like this specific offer. They're going to just feed more people to your ads that are like those people that like your page. But it's still possible to have success with paid traffic when you might have a smaller page, or maybe you're just starting out and don't have any presence at all. Because if somebody's really interested in the offer and the message that you have, and they go to your website and they're looking around and they can see that you have like legit testimonials, maybe you have names of people in this space where would be familiar to your customer or your avatar. they're going to say, okay, that I like that person, so maybe I'd like this person too. So you can have success with it. I don't know that you have to keep your page updated, but I do think that the social aspect can help just in general with lowering ads at some point, but I don't think that that's always a guarantee.
So one of the things that I feel like it's been a theme throughout this podcast is the testimonials or the social proof. Once again, people just starting out, maybe they have a new website. You know, how do you, I mean, this is kind of not about Facebook ads, but like, what would you recommend people do to get either the recommendations, the reviews? You've been there with digital products, physical products. Like, what are some techniques that you've seen that work?
So like the reviews and things, obviously, like using your email list. So if you have a customer or a subscriber, asking them to give you feedback on whatever it is that you that they bought or that you gave away to them for free. And they could do that on your product listing. They could do that on the post that you're giving something away. Or you can, if you really wanted to, you could just run a targeted ad like we talked about earlier with a list of people that either bought or like downloaded the freebie. And you could get feedback that way so other people can see it. And I've seen other marketers doing this. So like, obviously I know that that's working for them because they don't have like the largest, you know, network or the following or whatever on some of their social platforms. So I would say email, in my opinion, email or text. Like I know we've been working with text for probably like the past year or two. Even just asking people on text, if you send out a text to say, hey, can you drop us a review really quick? And then you can have a whole bunch of stuff there for people to go land on and like read more about.
Okay, sorry, I said that was it, but I have two more questions now. You're never leaving. Next question, even though I said we were going to be done, we heard this a lot at Seller Summit this year, or at least a good amount. Along with the social proof, a lot of people talk about using user-generated content in ads. So not just like someone's review, but like someone taking their own photo, like a photo that a customer's taken, or even, I mean, I know like Boom with Ezra, like they ask for people to make videos. Have you tried that? What are the results that you've seen?
Yeah, those work great. And you know, the reason is because it doesn't look like it's professionally done or staged. It doesn't look like I paid a marketer or an agency, you know, thousands of dollars to do it. It's somebody that's doing this with their phone or they're, you know, sharing an image or whatever the video might be. They're unprofessional, but they're showing how they're using it in real life settings. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So I love UGC.
Okay, I promise this is the last question. You talked about seeing other ads, seeing what other people are doing. What's the easiest way if you're trying to see like, hey, I want to watch other people and see what they're doing? What's the easiest way to see other people's ads aside from just scrolling on Facebook and waiting to see what pops in your feed?
So Facebook has an ad library. I think it's facebook.com, maybe /library or something. But if you just Google Facebook ad library, you can see what other people are running. Now, the caveat with that, which I don't like, is you can see what they're running with their creative, with their message, offer, all of that. But what you can't see is you can't see the engagement on that piece of content. So you may say, oh, wow, this sounds amazing. I love it. And then if you happen to see that ad in your feed, you were like, nobody responded to that message. So that one fell flat. Like nobody cared about what they had to say. And it seemed so compelling. Now, you have to test everything too. Absolutely. But what I will do, like I love the ad library and I will use it just to kind of see what some people are doing occasionally. It's like a data point to check in. But a lot of times I'll say, hey, if I want to see what these other people are doing, I just go get pixeled from them and I want to see all their ads. I save like at night, I call it my talk and tea time. I literally, and by talk, I mean like T-O-K, TikTok. I will literally just scroll the feed on Facebook because I want to get targeted with the ads. I want to see these ads. I want to see what creatives are doing. I want to see what messages they're sharing with people. Does it relate? Not even just for the people that I'm working with on the ad side, but like, what was it about that ad, that offer, everything that worked for me? Because there's some way I can translate that into what I'm doing. So I say a lot of times I'll go through. First thing is I'll click the three dots, save the post, or say it. A lot of times they'll say save post, save link, save video. And then you have to go into your saved posts and go actually find the original that you saved. And then I'll also see what targeting did they use. So you can click the three dots again and say, why did I see this ad? And sometimes you're going to see that they just want to find customers like you. They want to find subscribers like you. Or they'll say, it's very generic, like they want to find new people that are between 18 and 65. But sometimes you'll find the little nuggets still where they're using target-based interests in the ads setup. And you can find that they may have found like an interest that you hadn't even thought of. So it might be something completely random. You're like, wait a minute, I didn't even think to look at that. That would make so much sense. So sometimes Facebook will take away interests and sometimes they'll add new interests. So you really never know what they're doing when they're doing it. Sometimes they'll be very clear to say, we're removing all of this interest-based targeting. It's affecting a lot of your ads, which they did a couple months ago. But sometimes they'll just add one random nugget and you might find it on an ad like that. And then you definitely, I'll screenshot it and then send myself an email and say add to ads tomorrow to test.
Okay. You got two nuggets in this podcast that you need to do immediately. And this last one is the first one is, you know, take the social proof, flip it. So go back to like minute 12, I think. Well, I don't know. I can't remember exactly when that was. But go back to the beginning. There's that one and then this next one where you want to be targeted. Start some talk and tea time and see what other people are doing and use the information that you have to create successful ads for your own business. Thank you, Andrea, for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.